John 6 and 8 tells us, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. And then going quickly to Matthew 14 and 18, you don't have to turn there, but it says, Jesus says, bring them hither to me. Bring them hither to me. And by the help of the Holy Ghost this morning, I want to talk to you on this thought. Just bring your lunch. Just bring your lunch. Just bring your lunch. How many feel that in your spirit? Just bring your lunch. Amen. I know it's almost lunchtime for some of you. You're saying, Pastor, my stomach's growling before I got here. But I won't be long, I assure you. But I want to talk to you this morning from my heart. But we are never at a loss for hearing. It's the doing. So I want us to get in our spirit of doing mindset, a doing attitude. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Father in heaven, we love you. We love you this morning because you have heard our cry, because you're faithful today. When we begin to think about everything you're doing, God, and all you've done, Lord, we know that you truly did it, God. And we pray today that we would be doers of your word, oh God. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. I do want to say to the youth department, you guys look mighty fine sitting right there. So good, so good. Jesus and his disciples were watching a crowd that had been following him. And this crowd of people began to come towards Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus, real having compassion, in fact, it's in Matthew 13, I want to say it is. But Jesus would begin to have compassion, and he would want these people to eat. It was getting late, and he wants them to eat, and they needed some food. And Jesus, when he lifted his eyes up, the scripture tells us in the Gospel of John, John 6 and 5, he says to Philip, where can we buy bread, or where can we get some food that these people can eat? And Jesus, the scripture tells us in verse 6, tells us that the Lord already knew what he was going to do, but he was doing this to prove something. And Philip, in verse 7, answers and said, 200 pennyworth, or it's going to take a lot of money to feed these people so that they could even just have a little bit. And when Jesus asked Philip where they could get some bread, Philip begins to assess the probable costs. You know, it's like Grandma Doris is selling baked goods today, but there's not enough for everybody, you know. There's just a sum for the folks that have put in their orders and a little bit extra. So you better get over there and buy it all up. But amen. It would take 200 pennyworth or 200 days wages to be able to feed such a crowd. And we see this as a setup to strengthen the faith of Philip, because by asking for a human solution, we know that this was going to highlight the impossibility of what was going to have to take place. It was definitely going to highlight the necessity for the miraculous. And If there was anybody that was aware of where to get food, it would have been Philip, because he was from a town about 9 miles away called Bethesda. And John 1 and 44 tells us that Philip was from Bethesda. And Philip is, he's assessing the probable cause. He's looking at it, at what this is something great that you're asking to feed all these people, and but the probability of it is slim to none. In fact, I would just go to tell you, Jesus, it's none. We have no money, we have no means, it's late, there's no Uber Eats, there's no Cafe Runner to get. God bless Cafe Runner. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And there isn't anybody to deliver pizza, and you know, the taco guy's not here. And so we're analyzing things from our point of view, and we do that in our lives today. We begin to look at situations, and from our perspective and our perception and our experience, we look at it and we're like, yeah, there's just slim to none. In fact, I'll just put the hat on now and say none. And we even ignore issues that we know that God can, but we begin to ignore issues because of the likelihood of, well, you know, I got a feeling it's not going to be what it seems to be. And so we'll just kind of go the other way. And so we associate issues with other things at times. And we even see this in this very situation in the Gospel of Mark. It says in Mark 6 and 36, they said, just send them away, that they can go into the villages and they can buy themselves something to eat, because we have nothing to eat and they need something to eat. And I would like to propose to us that we do live in a reality that this is not make-believe what we're doing today. We're having church. We're here. But our perception and our reality is not the same as God's perception and God's reality. He is high and lifted up. And his ways and his thoughts, Isaiah tells us, are higher than our ways and our thoughts. And we understand that if there's anything that is impossible, that just means that the possibility of God doing something about it is very good, because he is great in the impossibilities. Jesus says in Mark 6 and 37, notice this, he says, well, give them something to eat. And they're like, well, where are we going to go and buy 200 penny worth of bread? And Jesus just is setting up the stage for 5,000 people to eat. And we got to understand the reality of Bible times. It's much different than our time now. And even if we had 5,000 people show up at RT, we could figure something out with a couple hours. But this was not postmodern times. This was biblical times. But consider the perspective from Andrew in John 6 and 8 and 6 and 9. Andrew, one of the disciples, says, there's a lad here. There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are those among all these people? This is just a sack lunch with all these people. Somebody brought a sack lunch. That's not enough. And can I nail something down this morning? I know this is going to surprise most of you, but God doesn't need our opinion. He needs our trust. And we need to trust him. But I want there to be a mindset change in all of us from here on out, that we can trust God, but we got to get to the place that God can trust us. I didn't get to any amens right there. But where God can trust us, we want him to be able to trust us, that we're available, and he can trust that we're available, that he can trust us, that although we may kind of look at some kind of a, you know, in a way that's like, wow, but we would understand that there's going to be a wow praise when the miraculous takes place, that we got to understand that he is so amazing. The God that we serve is so amazing. He even tells us in Jeremiah 32 and 27, he says, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We can limit sometimes the flow of what God wants to do by us assuming or defining what is and what is not possible. Right. We can hinder the flow. And God needs us to believe. That's what he needs. He needs us to believe, and he needs us to be available. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. For faith without works is dead. Having no works and no flesh, we've got to believe. We get that. We've got to do both. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Somebody say, bring your lunch.
Bring your lunch.
The Bible tells us in Luke 1 and 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. We've got to understand that we can't let our estimation of what can't be done keep us from getting involved in what God is about to do.
Amen.
Oh, you're not hearing what Pastor's saying right there. We can't let what we approximate, what we estimate, what we in our sophisticated self would say, I've heard and I've seen bigger and better and badder, and it never happened. But can I tell you, God says he's about to do some new things. Eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, no hair entered in the heart of man, the things that God has for us. We got to remember, if it's impossible with man, it is possible with God. Jesus begins to give instruction. We see this in John chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, make the men to sit down. There was much grass in the place. So the men sat down. You know how amazing that there was plenty of room for them to sit down. Why would he have them sit down if he wasn't going to do something? See, sometimes the Lord will just have us sit down. Say, oh, well, you know, how come they're, you know, the Lord's doing everything for them and I'm just sitting here waiting? You're in the waiting room, man. The emptier the waiting room gets, the likelihood of your chances to be called is better. So praise him in the waiting room. Don't hate on anybody in the waiting room. Sit there and bring your lunch and say, I'm ready for whatever you got from me. Oh, God, I'm in the waiting room and I'm waiting with joy. I'm not hating on nobody, but I'm rejoicing with somebody. So he gives instruction. And in the instruction, in fact, it was very detailed. It says, sit down and he tells them in Mark 6 and 39, he commanded them to all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks of 50s. And from what we know in the Gospels, there wasn't anyone that said, well, I don't want to sit down. I want to stand up. Why do we have to sit down? I can't sit down. You know, I'm allergic to green grass. I don't feel like it. I'm too big to sit down and then get back up. I need a pillow to sit on. A lot of excuses that could have been made, but we don't read in the Gospels. We read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Nobody's saying that. They just did what he said.
Amen.
He wants us to sit down. There was an obvious need, but there was obvious unity and obedience.
Amen.
They sat down and they were unified, and it was powerful that they were unified. And what do you say that Revival Tabernacle, that whenever we gather into this place of worship, whenever we gather into this church house for prayer or for ladies gathering or for stronger families or whatever it is that we come and gather together, what do you say we just be in unity one with another? Say, you know what? We're going to be in unity together. We're going to seek the Lord together. We're going to serve God together, and we're going to grow together. We're going to worship together. We're going to pray together. We're going to give together. Come on, somebody. We're going to sing together. We've come, and each of us may have brought something to the party, but everything that we bring is for the glory and the honor of the Lord. I bring what I bring because that's who I am, but I brought something into the house of the Lord.
Glory.
Matthew 14 and 17 says, and they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus says, bring them to me. Ministry leaders, saints of God, this morning, I want us to remember that everything we do needs to be about Jesus. Never forget that it's about Him. It always will be. And it always needs to be. It always has. It always is going to stay that way. Every song that we sing, praise team, has got to be about Him. Saints of God, every worship that we bring unto the Lord, it's got to be about Him. Every sermon that we minister, men of God, women of God, it's got to be about Him. Every word that we give, it's got to be about Him. Every hand clap that we bring, it's got to be about Him. Instead, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Every praise, it's got to be about Him. It's not just a song. Every praise is to our God, but it's got to be everything. It's His breath in our lungs. I'm going to praise Him in the firmament of His power, but I'm going to praise Him for His mighty act, and I praise Him according to His excellent greatness. What did you bring into the house of the Lord? I brought my lunch. I brought something to bring to the multitude so God can use it to bless somebody. Notice this. Jesus was stretching His disciples then, and He's stretching His church today.
Glory to
God. John 6 and 11 says that Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed it to His disciples, and His disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. Think about this. The lad's lunch in the hands of Jesus was enough. It was enough. Now, from the perspective of the lad, it was his lunch. It was his choosing to do what he wanted to do with it. But it was his lunch. He didn't hold back. He didn't say, well, you know, I'll keep 1 fish for me, 2 breads. No. It was his to do what he pleased with. And he made sure it got to Jesus. He had to trust whoever he gave that lunch to that got it to Jesus. What about the middleman? The person that was given the lunch and gave it to Jesus. He was probably hungry too. Right? He could have taken a biscuit out for him. I'll never know. Eat it on the way. No. Little boy could have done whatever he wanted to do with it. Think about this in a multitude of 5,000 people, just men, because the Bible records there was 5,000 men. There could have been somebody else with the lunch. You know, because if there was any mamas there, mamas always got something in their bag. Right? I mean, somebody here has got a granola bar in theirs right now. They're like, 20 more minutes, Pastor, and that thing's coming out. Because I don't smell no tacos. So. But what that lunch that day was made for somebody.
Yeah.
What about the mother that made that lunch? Wake up that day and say, you know what, this lunch is going to feed a multitude. Just a little lunch. Little boy's lunch that did the miraculous, because in the hands of Jesus, it was enough. It's a little sack lunch. It's enough. Just think about the scripture setting says that he broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to the people that were hungry. When did the miracle take place? What part did the miracle take place? Was it when Jesus began to break the bread and give it to the disciples? Or was it when the disciples began to, did they break it? Did they give it to the next person? Or did they just keep reaching in that basket, giving some bread and giving some fish? When did the miracle take place? It doesn't matter when the miracle took place. The fact was that there was a need, right. And there was a little boy that said, you know what, I have something. And it may be small, but in the hands of Jesus, it's enough. So yeah. I'm going to give to him. There's a need. There's a need. God, somebody made me something. And it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Oh, God, in your hands, it's enough. In your hands, you can do everything. Lord, I have. You shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. You know what? Saints of God, I believe I'm preaching to a church. It's a giving church. I know that. And I'm not talking about financials today. I'm talking about ourselves. I'm talking about giving of ourselves to the kingdom. So I can seek, so I can serve, so I can grow. Yeah. Everything that I am, I give to the Lord. My talent, my resources, yeah. My ability. But more so than that, I want to be available for God. Yeah. I don't want to be like some people that maybe said, you know what? If I would have known the Lord was going to do a miracle, I would have given my lunch too. But no, we don't hear about that. We read about a boy that we don't even know his name.
Right. Amen. That's good.
Nameless. But God used him. Are we okay with being used if nobody knows we're being used? Are we okay with God using us to do something if nobody knows our name? Are we okay with worshiping the Lord if we're never on a live stream worshiping the Lord? Are we okay? So you know what? I don't care about being seen. I don't care about being known. All I want to be is a vessel used in the kingdom of God. And I'm bringing what I got. I'm bringing my lunch to Jesus. I'm bringing my talent to Jesus. I'm bringing my availability to Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Because they were all hungry, the Bible says.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. Could have been anybody. Mm-hmm. Could have been.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was one lad that we don't even know his name. Yeah. But his lunch in the hands of Jesus was enough. When it's enough in the hands of Jesus,
yeah.
It shouldn't matter what other people think.
Amen.
You ever say to yourself, well, I don't have enough, or I don't think it's enough? Or how about this? Enough's enough already. But when it's in the hands of the Lord, it's enough. You know, your testimony is enough.
Amen.
Yeah. It's enough, Brother David, to share with somebody about what God has done. It's enough. It's enough. It's a testimony when you begin to think about everything God has brought you through and He's taken you to, and He's with you, never leave you, nor forsake you. Some of you never thought you'd be sitting in church, but here you are. You're here. Some of you never thought you'd be as old as you are. Because everybody in your family has died or been incarcerated, never lived to see how the age you are today. But here you are. It's enough to give God glory and give God praise and say, you know what? I'm enough in the hands of God. I'm enough. And if God can use anybody or do anything, I'm enough that he can work with. I've had enough of a lot of bad things in my life that I'm going to just bring what I've got, because you know what? If anybody can do anything on my life, it's got to be God. And he's a miracle worker. And I know he can, because if he can't, nobody can, because everyone else has given up on me. Can I tell you, that's the God that we serve. He can restore marriages. He can restore health. He can restore life. But we've got to bring it to him. We can't hold on to it. We've got to give it to him and say, it'll be enough. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We are responsible for what we give and bring to the Lord.
Amen.
Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like, or what it is in comparison to others. Just bring your lunch. Galatians 6 and 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. You bring value. You know, I'm not going to get on there. But you bring value to the kingdom. You bring worship to the kingdom. You bring humility to the kingdom. In a world that is so prideful and narcissistic, you know, they'll hashtag humility, you know. I want to tell some of you seasoned saints that have been around a little while, and you're trying to fill in your season of transition because you don't have the strength that you used to have, can I tell you that you bring an example of holiness and modesty to this revival God has given us? Thank you. Some of you are bringing faithfulness. Thank you. And some of what you bring will never be displayed in the eye of society or the church or even pastor. But God sees it. God knows. God's aware. He's acquainted with. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Some of you are thinking some thoughts. You're just like, you know, if only this would have, and only that would have, and I was thinking about this, and I thought about this, but do you know that God thinks about you? His thoughts are thoughts of peace and not evil, because he's got a lot of folks thinking, call crying and crazy thoughts, right? They're crazy. They're stuck on crazy, you know. But he's got thoughts of peace about you. To give us an expected end. Some of you this morning, you never thought you'd be in a church service, but here you are. You never thought that you could go so far for so long and God could still love you and forgive you. That's what you thought. But our thoughts, our ways aren't like the Lord's. He loves you with an everlasting love. His mercies are renewed every morning. Great is his faithfulness towards us. There's a lad here. There's a lad here that's got a lunch. And what is it among so many? What is it about this boy's lunch that even to this day we're still talking about him, Brother Marquez, but we don't even know his name. We don't know the name of the lady, the little girl that told Naaman about the man of God, later was healed of leprosy. We don't know the name of the lady with the issue of blood. We don't know the name of the widow with the vessels. She had to go borrow vessels and pour the oil in them. We don't know her name. Just because somebody doesn't know your name, God knows your name.
Amen.
knows the very stature and your makeup. Who art man that thou art mindful of him, the Son of Man that thou art. Ah, he's acquainted. He sees every hair on our head is numbered. Lord, teach us to number our days. So, saints of God, this morning we got to get a revelation that it's not about us trusting God, but can God trust us to bring our lunch when it seems to be impossible? That I'll give it to you, God, because in your hands it's enough. The nameless people that God will use to save his people, to bless his people, to deliver his people. I've never met, and I didn't even know the name of the man that witnessed to my mom and dad that brought them into the house of God. But, oh, what I thank the Lord for that nameless man that would witness to my family. Now, I know we've got good music, and but people aren't coming to our church services because of our good music. They're not coming in because, well, you know, because we're going to have free tacos every Sunday. They aren't coming in because we have the greatest of programs or because you guys all look so good and smell so good. And no, people are coming to the house of God because they're hungry for Jesus. They want something real, something that'll change their life, that'll fix their addiction, that'll save their soul, to deliver them, because the world has left them wounded and afraid and confused, and their life is falling apart, and they've got money and more degrees in a thermometer, but they're out of their mind, and they're addicted to pornography, and they're addicted to the evils of this world, and they know that only Jesus can satisfy their soul, and they're coming and they're hungry, and they're not even just coming here, they're watching online, and they're not just watching online, they're watching you at your place of work, they're your neighbors, they're your friends, they're your family member, and they see you go through hell, and then you come out and you're walking and you still got a smile and you haven't quit. You know why? Because you serve a God that is enough. You serve a God that is greater than depression. You serve a God that is greater than fear. You serve a God that is greater than the gates of hell. And I went to God this morning, we would get a revelation that in the hands of the mighty potter, we are enough, because he can do with us what he pleases. Somebody shout, he's enough. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We need Jesus. Amen. We need Jesus. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus comes into the world. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. God will take nameless vessels like you and me that will simply just show up ready to surrender, knowing that in the hands of Jesus, it'll be enough. At some point in time, this little lad, this boy, had to settle in his heart and his mind that his food, although was his, he was willing to give it up. You know, there's some things that we're going to have to give up. You're going to have to give it up to go to heaven or to hell. Because either way, you can't take it with you. Ever wonder what would have happened if he never gave his lunch up? What would happen if you quit? Who would stand in the gap for your family? Who would stand in the gap? What would happen if you became a narcissistic Christian? What would happen? if this was the last sermon you ever heard. Today you're just like throwing my lunch in the garbage when I leave. Who would stand in the gap for your family? Who would worship in your place? I tell you what would happen. The rocks would cry out. We can't become so self-righteous, sophisticated Christians that we forget where God has brought us from. Thanks be to God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Nobody righteous, no, not one. All the imperfect people say amen. Amen. All the blessed people say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Isaiah 64 and 8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art the potter. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand." I don't have time to preach that message, but it's a powerful message in and of itself, that Bible verse. We've got to seek.
Yeah.
We've got to serve.
Amen.
Knowing that God is in control.
Amen.
And it's His power that causes multiplication.
Amen.
Because that lunch was not going to multiply in anybody else's hand.
Nope.
In fact, it would have been consumed by one person. But in the hands of Jesus, it multiplied. Can I tell you? Don't hold on to things that you should be giving to the Lord, because if you put it in His hands, He'll bless it. He'll add to it. He'll multiply it. But if we hold on to it, it won't be blessed. It won't be blessed. We'll hold on. We'll hoard things that we should be giving to God. I don't want to hoard my life. I want to make sure my life is available for God to use. Whatever you want to do, oh God, all that I am, all that I'll be, oh God, I'm in your hands as the clay is in the potter, God. If you want me to be a vessel, God, to use whatever vessel you need me to be, God, I'm willing. I'm available. I trust you, Lord. I'm not going to be looking at you and telling you, why are you making this way, Lord? No, I'm going to just sit there on the potter's wheel. I'm going to let you mold me. I'm going to let you make me what I need to be, oh God. I'm bringing to you my life, a sacrifice holy and acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service, oh God. I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, oh God. I don't want to think about others, what they think about me, God, and not be concerned about what you actually know about me, oh God. The Lord takes what is insufficient and uses it to accomplish His will. It was God's will that day that the people sat down and were fed spiritually and physically. It was the will of the Lord that the disciples were involved and engaged in the miraculous. But there was order. There was instruction. Saints of God, where we are going and where God is leading our church, there has got to be engagement in the kingdom like never before. We've got to be all about our Father's business. We've got to be all in. We've got to introduce people to the way maker. We've got to introduce them to the bread of life. We got to show them what a restored home looks like and how God could revive things. We've got to demonstrate to them that we could have clean hands and a pure heart. We got to show them what love looks like. We got to demonstrate to them what holiness looks like inwardly and outwardly. And some of you here this morning, you've got to take it up a notch. You've been slacking for too long. You've been on cruise control for too long. You've been in the holiday season, and the holiday season 6 months ago. It's time to turn it up a notch. It's time to recommit to the Lord. It's time to repent and repent again. Thank the Lord for repentance. Repentance is a beautiful thing. It's a blessed thing. We ought to repent every day. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Have mercy on my soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's time to forgive.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Time to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Filled with His Spirit. The initial sign of the speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. John will tell us in John 3 and 5, 3, 6, 3, 7, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. He says, hey, don't be surprised. I say unto you, you must be born again. There's no greater day than today to become vested in the kingdom. Don't hold on to something that we should let go, as the musicians would come first. Don't let frustration hold you back from drawing close to God. Don't let other people's opinions hinder your relationship with God.
Amen.
John chapter 4. Media team, you don't need to go there. I didn't give this to you. John chapter 4. Jesus is having a conversation with a lady who's unnamed, by the way. We know her as a lady at the well. We know that she liked men. She had five husbands. The man she was with wasn't her husband. Thank the Lord for forgiveness. But he has a conversation with her. And he tells her, give me something to drink. And they have this dialogue, and he says, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. Because the water I give is life-giving water.
Yeah.
Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then he begins to have dialogue with her. Tells her something that we all learned from this Bible verse, which is so powerful. John chapter 4, he says, the hour has come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. He's telling her that what I'm looking for is a worshiper. Not somebody that's got it all together.
Right.
Looking for a worshiper.
Right.
Somebody that's not ashamed.
Right.
Bend their knee and lift their hands. And tilt their head back and lift their voice.
Yes.
You know what this lady, who we would call her a wretch. Some of you would call her something else, but call her a wretch. Sinful woman. She has this encounter with Jesus, and then she leaves and goes and tells everybody who Jesus was. Oh. Can I tell somebody here this morning? Don't let the suit fool you.
Yo, come on.
The suit doesn't make a preacher.
No, it doesn't.
Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Nope.
That's the truth.
Come on, somebody.
It doesn't.
Your testimony is enough. Your testimony is enough to let your light shine about what God has done. I may wear a suit on Sunday. I may wear jeans on Monday, but on the inside, there's something in me that I got to tell somebody about Jesus. I got to tell somebody about Jesus.